Last night, we studied 1 Timothy, and we will continue from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is the same with the 1 Timothy. It is an instruction of Paul to the young worker, Timothy, and remind him what should he do to prepare himself to succeed the ministry of God. So in the 2 Timothy, Paul gives him many instructions. Chapter 2, this morning we mentioned in a novel vision. And chapter 3, I'll read 2 Timothy chapter 3. The perilous time and perilous men. In the last day before Jesus' second coming, there will be the perilous time. And chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 17, in the beginning talk about the decline of morality. So the danger before Jesus' second coming is not a war, it's not a nuclear bomb. All that only destroys the physical body. The danger before Jesus' second coming is spiritual side, which means Satan used all different kind of ways to try to defeat the chosen people. And one of the very effective way is to cause the decrease of the morality. So once the morality decline, and then we follow the trend, then our relationship with God will be jeopardized. A few days ago, if you see the news, that Paul, he said, who am I to judge about what? Homosexual. Originally, Paul was, the Catholic Church was quite conservative. At least the Catholic Church opposed divorce and remarriage, opposed abortion, and opposed homosexual. But all that kind of stance actually is in accordance with the teaching of the Bible. But right now, this Paul starts to say, who am I to judge? Which means he cannot judge that homosexual is wrong. So we can understand, even the Catholic Church, the view about homosexual starts to change. So all these indications tell us that morality is in decline. And once we are killed spiritually, then we have no hope for salvation. So the most difficult thing in the end time is spiritual side, if not the physical side. And in that time, in the last time, what should we do? According to chapter 3, three things we need to do. The first one, we have to imitate the spiritual figure. So verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manners of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, happened to me at Antioch. So we need to have a spiritual companionship in the church, and then we encourage each other, just like Paul encouraged Timothy, and we imitate their godly life. So this is the first way we should do. You know that in the spiritual life, if we are alone, that will be very dangerous. Two will be better than one. So if you can find a good spiritual friend, companion in the church, it will be helpful. very helpful for us to keep our spiritual life. If you can, in the campus, right, you can have a roommate, which is our church member, or live together with our church member, that would be the best way to keep your campus life. So the first way we can deter the influence of the decline of morality is to find a spiritual friend, a spiritual role model. The second way, we have to determine to suffer. Verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So today, persecution, it doesn't mean use a gun, use a knife, trying to kill you. Today's persecution means you become minority in your religious belief. So today, in a social gathering, if you say homosexual is sin, you're going to see a lot of people start to voice out their opposition, even attack. So this is another type of persecution. So we have to be prepared that we are minority spiritually. We will suffer. May not be physical, but will be suffer mentally or spiritually. This is the second thing. We have to determine to suffer. If we are unwilling, we are unable to suffer, then we will surrender ourselves to the worldly trend. So suffering is a must. When we endure for the sake of righteousness, then we will inherit the kingdom of God. That is the beatitude, the last blessing. Suffer for the sake of righteousness. So the first blessing is what? Poor in spirit. So the blessing is to have the kingdom of God. And the last blessing, the same blessing, the kingdom of God, but different requirement. Right? You have to suffer for the sake of righteousness. Which means if I come to the church, I have empty heart, I'm very longing for Jesus Christ, yes, you will go into his kingdom. The kingdom of God will be fulfilled. But if you fail to have the last requirement, we still cannot have the kingdom of God. I have kingdom of God in my heart, but I don't want to suffer. I don't want to deny myself. I don't want to carry the cross. We still cannot follow Jesus. If we cannot follow Jesus, we still cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the first requirement, hunger, poor in spirit, that is only the beginning. The last requirement, suffer for the righteousness sake, that will be the last requirement to inherit God's kingdom. Now, this is the second point. We need to prepare to suffer. The third point, from verse 14 to verse 17, we have to be equipped with the teaching of the words of God. Especially if you look into verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The inspiration of God, the original text, Greek, is breath of God. Just like God gave a breath to Adam, and Adam became living being. So God gave a breath to Paul, and Paul was inspired to start to write how many books in all? Written by Paul, 16 or 17, right? Book written by Paul. Right? God gave a breath to Peter, and then he started to read, write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So the book was written, but it is the words of God written by man. And what is the benefit of scripture? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In another way, if we don't have the words of God, the truth, there's no way we can become a righteous person. Why? Because we lack an absolute criteria to judge ourselves whether I'm wrong or right. Because in the world, everything is relative. Since everything is relative, nobody can tell you you are right or wrong. all depends on what, whether you like it or not. Even the Supreme Court, when the Supreme Court overturned the decision of California, right, to ban homosexual marriage, same-sex marriage, and according to some kind of comment, because Supreme Court decision is to reflect the trend of the society, because most people nowadays accept the homosexual, so Supreme Court make a decision to follow the trend. So even the court itself is changing. So it's not absolute truth. The absolute truth is the Bible. So when we equip with the teaching of the Bible, we can view a lot of things so clear, right and wrong. It's so clear. We thank God for that. 17. That the man of God may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good works. If we want to serve God, we have to go through the discipline of the truth. Use the truth to adjust every part of our thinking, from the inside motivation to the outside attitude. After do the thorough alignment, spiritual alignment, then we were able to become a good worker. So this is the second Timothy. And Titus is the same. The book of Titus is to prepare the young man Titus to serve God. Titus chapter 1, we don't need to Titus chapter 1, verse 4. And they will turn their ear away from the truth and turn aside. Verse 4. To Titus, the true son in our common faith. He said, the true son in our common faith. What does common faith mean? Common faith is a faith we need God reveal to Paul. And common faith today in our term, in 2 Jesus Church, what is common faith? 10 articles of faith. That's called common faith. And this is the constitution of 2 Jesus Church. Our church built on 10 articles of faith. So Paul tried to encourage the Titus to hold on the common faith. A true son in common faith means what? The relationship is based on the foundation of the common faith. So we are the brother and sisters in common faith. One day, if we don't believe in the 10 articles of faith, then we are no longer a member of TJC. If we don't believe 10 articles of faith, then the relationship is no more exist. So some of the members, they don't believe in TJC anymore. You met in the airport. Yes, we know each other. We say hi to each other. But you feel that nothing more than that. There's no relationship exist. So this is a son in common faith. Son means next generation in common faith. If Titus abandoned the common faith, then the father and son, their relation totally broken. So our bond actually bonded together by common faith, by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the spiritual bond. And then Titus chapter 3, verse 5, this is the most commonly quoted. Chapter 3, verse 5. For we ourselves are also not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This Titus chapter 3, verse 5 is the best verse to explain which verse? To explain another chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. Our next one is born of water and spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can you explain that? Yes, I can explain it. Please see Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Right? To be born of water means washing of regeneration. To be born of spirit means renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we interpret the Bible with the Bible. So two prerequisites for salvation, water baptism and Holy Spirit. So this is the book of Titus. Now we go into the book of Hebrew. Hebrew actually is a book only talk about one person, who is he? Jesus Christ. So the theme is superiority of surpassing greatness of Christ. The central figure of the human history, who is the central figure of human history? Is Jesus Christ. The central figure of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Probably you will disagree. Well, I did not see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Old Testament is a shadow of Jesus Christ. A lot of prophecy, a lot of prediction that the Savior is coming. Right? Especially in the book of Isaiah. Now, and out of the book of Isaiah, from Genesis to Psalm, they all have the shadow of Jesus Christ. And that shadow come true when Jesus was born. So all the New Testament is focused on the birth of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, death of Jesus, resurrection of Jesus, and the apostle carry out Jesus' commission and establish Jesus' body, the church. So all the whole Bible focus on one person, Jesus Christ. So the Hebrew try to explain how come Jesus Christ is so superior, nobody can compare with him. So the chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 of the book of Hebrew is talk about Christ Jesus is the perfect revelation of God Himself. Christ Jesus is the perfect revelation of God Himself. Let's look at verse 2. At these last days spoken us by His Son, whom has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the world. Through whom He made the world. Through whom? Through Jesus He made the world. Alright? And Jesus was a person being born 2,000 years ago. And the world had been created long time ago. And how come? Through Jesus the world was made. Because Jesus is God. That is the answer. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. The most powerful words is what? It's not Obama. The most powerful words is the words of Jesus Christ. So He uphold all things by the words of His power. Now, the heaven and earth continue to run, right, non-stop. The life continue from generation to generation because the words of God uphold it. Right? So this is the most powerful word, Jesus Christ's word. And when He met by Himself purge of sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of the high. So this is talk about Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God Himself. So Jesus Christ said, if you know me, you know God. God is in me, I am in God, and I and God are one. The Jewish people just cannot understand. What are you talking about? You know me, you know God. You are His carpenter's son. How come you say you know me, you know God? You see me, you see God. You are nothing, right? You don't have outer appearance. And say, you say, you see me, you see God. They don't know what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus knew what He was talking about. He was God Himself put on a human form. Right? But inside the human form is God Himself. That is the reason that you know me, you Now, from chapter 1, verse 4 to chapter 10, 39, is talk about the superiority of the Christ. Chapter 1, verse 4 to chapter 2, verse 18, Jesus Christ is superior than the angel. Angel, right? Jesus is superior than the angel. Oh. Because angel is not the Son of God, but Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh. He was God himself, and angel was the spirit serving God. Oh. So angel is waiting for the command of Jesus. Oh, so Jesus Christ and angel obey Jesus Christ. We don't have time to go into detail. So chapter 1, verse 4 to chapter 2, verse 18, Jesus superior to angel. And chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 4, it talk about Jesus is superior than Moses. We know law was given to Moses, and Jesus was superior to Moses. And why Jesus was superior to Moses? Let's start from chapter 4, verse 4 onwards. He talk about the status of Jesus. He served as a high priest. This high priest is so superior, far superior than the high priest in the Old Testament. So this is because Jesus Christ is not a human being. When the human being high priest, they have sin, so they will die. And Jesus Christ has no sin, so he will not die. This is the first one, superior. The second superior is the sacrifice offered by Jesus Christ. The high priest, they offer the sacrifice of animal. So once a year, they will go offer the sacrifice of the blood of animal. But Jesus Christ offered what kind of sacrifice? His own blood. He offered his own blood, a blood of righteous person. It's not a blood of animal. It's a blood of righteous person. Only the blood of righteous person can really as a ransom of our sin. The blood of the animal cannot become a ransom, because animal is not man. So the offering of the blood is only a prefiguration of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ came to the world, people call him what? Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb, L-A-M-B. Why? Because he prepared his body and to be crucified. Just a lamb being slaughtered in the day of Passover. By the blood applying the door frame, as the firstborn son were able to be spared about their own life. So today, we can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So his duty is a high priest, far superior high priest. And his offering, sacrifice is far better because offering his own blood. And then the covenant in New Testament is far better than the covenant of Old Testament. In the 2 Corinthians, where they study that, the Old Testament only make us no sin, but the New Covenant will remove our sin. That is superior than Old Testament. So that is the main point of Hebrew from chapter 1 to chapter 10. Talk about superiority of Jesus, superior than angel, superior than Moses, and his duty as high priest, superior than the high priest in the Old Testament, and his covenant, the new covenant, superior than all the covenant, and the sacrifice he offered, superior than the sacrifice in the Old Testament, because he offered his own blood, the righteous person's blood. And then, Hebrew chapter 11 is talk about faith. Let us recall one more time. The greatest chapter of love in the New Testament, which one? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Who can recite it? Love is patient and kind, right? And what is next? It's good that you can recite it, because this is a beautiful chapter. The greatest chapter of hope. Greatest chapter of hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is love. 15, the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruit. Okay. We are all going to be resurrected like Jesus and will be transformed into the spiritual body. It will shine the glory. Some will be like a sun, some will be like a moon, some will be like a star, and everyone varies from each one. Now, and greatest chapter of faith is Hebrew chapter 11. Now, first, how did the Bible define faith? What is faith? Now, Hebrew chapter 11, what is faith? Faith is the substance of all things you hope for, the evidence of things you not see. How do you know God created the universe? How do you know God created the universe? Because you believe. So you know. That's so simple. So, God created the universe in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, right? Genesis, who wrote it? Moses wrote it. Did Moses see God's creation? No. God revealed Moses, I am the one who created it. Also, in the beginning, God created the earth. Yeah. So, when you have faith, you know. One day, you lose your faith, you don't know. So simple. God created the universe. How do you know? Have you ever seen? No. How do you know? Because I believe. So I know. That's so simple. Right. So faith is the evidence of things not seen. And in terms of from the time span, the thing we have not seen in the past, in the present, in the future. In the past, creation of God we have not seen. But we believe we know it. In the present, have you ever seen angel? Have you ever seen God? No. But if we have faith, we know God is with us. We know God sent angel to protect us. If we have that kind of faith, then we have no worry. We have no fear. Then that is peace. So peace comes from where? Comes from faith. If we have faith, we don't worry about our life. We know God will take care of us. We are the children of God. So this is faith. And faith is talking about something you don't see in the future. Future resurrection. Because I believe, so because we have faith. Now there are many kind of spiritual figure is the eyewitness of in their spiritual journey. So in chapter 12, verse 1, we have surrounded by so great crowd of witnesses that they aside every weight. The crowd, great crowd of witness of the faith. They believe in Jesus strongly and what did they experience in their life. That's called a crowd of witness. So in the journey of faith, we are not the first generation. In the journey of faith, there are so many people already walked through the journey of faith. Then we look into their life, how they rely on God, how they believe in God, how they trust in God, how they obey God, and how God responds to their faith. And that same God never changed. So if we can imitate the faith of all the saints, whatever they experience, we will experience the same thing. Why? Because God never changed. And the reason we cannot experience the same experience like a saint is because our faith
is not as strong as the sand. So we have so many witnesses, just a crowd surrounding us. So chapter 11, come back to chapter 11, start from where? From Abel, and then from Eno, and then from Noah. What is Noah's face? God told him, this generation will be destroyed by flood. And all that generation, they are eating, drinking, marrying. And so when Noah preached the warning, nobody believed. Look, ever since you were born until now, have you ever seen the flood? The flood, nobody has ever seen that. Nobody believed. But Noah believed it because God told him. So he believed. So he prepared the ark. Today, the same thing, right? After summer vacation over, if your classmate asks you, what did you do in summer vacation? Right, we go to attend NYT. For what purpose? We prepare for second coming of Jesus. They will laugh to that. How a foolish thing to spend summer time, right? Nobody will believe. But because God says so, so we believe so. And one day the salvation, the door closed. Then a lot of people are waking up. Jesus second up. I mean, it's drawing near, but it's too late. So this is called faith, Noah. So we prepare for second coming of Jesus, that's because we have faith. No. We're not living by sight, we are living by faith, believing that the words of God will be fulfilled. That we look into the Noah's faith, now Abraham's faith. When Abraham left his home country, Ur, went into Canaan, only by the promise of God. They have land filled with honey and milk. And Ur, if you go to do some research, right? Ur was a very civilized city, the ancient city in Iraq. And that time, Iraq considered a very civilized country. And God wanted him to move out of this civilized country, civilized city, into an unknown land. And God promised that land filled with honey and milk. Can you do it? If we don't have faith, we cannot do it. They simply believe whatever God says is good. Whatever God wants me to do is good. That's called faith. Without reason. Opposite, absolute obedience. So when he reached to the Canaan, his faith deep up. He's looking for a city. And that city is heaven. So he lived a very simple life. Why? Because all his focus is the city above. So today, if we really have faith about heavenly kingdom, right, our life will be very simple. Why? Because you focus on heavenly kingdom, then you feel the world. Your attention will not be in the world. So faith will make our life simple. And then, if we look into Abraham, another is offered the only begotten son, the only one. After you offer it, you don't have it anymore. And he was old, he was unable to have a second son, right? And that was his beloved one. But he offered the only one son because of faith. Believe what? Believe his son will be resurrected. Why? Because God said, only from this son you will multiply to a great nation. Since God said this son will multiply to a great nation, even I offer to him and die, he will resurrect it. That was a great faith. Right? But we are not talking so grand scale of faith. We are talking a small one. Okay. 10 minus 1 equal how much? 10 minus 1. Very simple mathematics, right? It's 9, right? Because of this mathematics, a lot of people cannot contribute tithe. Right? 10 minus 1 is 9. But if we have faith, 10 minus 1 is equal to how many? How much? 10 minus 1 probably equal to 10 or equal to 11. Right? That's the faith we offer the tithe. Because the Bible says, guys could open the heaven and pour down all the blessings, right? So 10 minus 1 equal to 11, 12, 15. So if we have that kind of faith, when you receive the first check,
hey, very easy to write down and offer the tithes.
Even you want 1 million, it's very easy to offer 100,000. Why? Because of faith. Keeping the Sabbath is the same. If we really have faith, this is the day of rest and this is the day of blessing. A day of blessing. Do you want to receive blessing? Then Sabbath you should not work. It's some kind of logic. It's very difficult to understand, right? But if you have faith, you keep the Sabbath. Now Moses' decision, we are so familiar with this. Right? Moses gave up three things, and that three things are the one right now most of people are pursuing it. Right? Status, property, enjoyment. Who don't want it? Everybody wants it. But he forsake everything. For what? For invisible richness. Right? He can deserve suffering better. That is faith. So if we really have a strong faith, I believe a lot of people want to serve God. Later on the TDP, when the letter been posted, GA will receive 100 application because everybody has faith. I want to be rich in heaven. So I apply to attend TDP. We hope this day will come. 10, 20, 100 apply TDP. If we have faith, that will be success. But right now, it's difficult to receive application. So faith is very important. Let's think about 100 years later, where will we be? Brother, 100 years later, where will we be? How old are you? Suppose you are 25. 100 years later, you will be 125. You break the world record. Is that possible? Probably possible. You exercise everything. But otherwise, most of them, we will die. And suppose you work from 25 until 65, 40 years. Every year, you earn 100K. 40 years, 4 million. But after 100 years later, where is 4 million? Oh God, right? Disappear. So if you think about it, 100 years later, my investment will be in heaven. Then what you do? Enroll TDP. Really? You think about just 100 years later, then you will be wise enough to make the right decision. Really? But it requires faith. So Moses' faith is applied to us every day. So this is the Hebrew. We still have 4 minutes to go through the New Testament. It's difficult, huh? The book of James, the book of 1st, 2nd Peter, the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John cover three things. The book of James, it covers faith. The book of 1st and Peter is covered hope. The book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is covered love. So 1st Corinthians chapter 13 says, there are faith, hope, and love, right? Three things in our Christian life. What's the difference of Christian life and non-believer? Faith, hope, and love. Superficially, no difference. But if you look deeper, it's different. Faith, hope, and love. And so, the book of James talks about faith. How can we express our faith? Our faith expressed in our action, in our deeds. So faith is invisible, but the action is tangible. So use a tangible action to express our intangible faith. Now, I mentioned several times my experience. One day I came back from Africa and transit in London Heathrow Airport. I was so sleepy, I just sleep in the chair. All of a sudden, I wake up, everybody gone. How come everybody gone? Because there was a broadcast say there was unclaimed baggage is suspicious as a bomb. Everybody run away. I didn't hear it. I'm the only one who sleep there. No. If I hear it, I don't rush out. There are only two possibilities. The first, I don't believe. The second, I'm innocent. All right. The same thing, right? If you really believe in the teaching of the Bible, you will do it. That's called faith. So faith without action is just like a body without soul. And what kind of body? It's a dead body. So faith without action, that kind of faith cannot save us. Who has the strongest faith, even stronger than we do? Who? Satan. Sometimes we believe and we start wavering whether there is God or not, right? Satan firmly believes there is God. But Satan believed in God in trembling. Why? Because he knew when Jesus' second coming, he will be judged, he will be thrown into the fire, lake of fire. So that kind of faith makes him tremble. But our faith makes us hope. All right. Second coming of Jesus Christ is the time I will be saved. All right. So faith is the action to show it. And first and second Peter talk about hope. What is a living hope? The living hope is a hope with eternity in heaven. And that is the final goal of a Christian. Now, that's called living hope. And because of this living hope, you can see 1 Peter and 2 Peter talk about a lot about suffering. Now, why? Because we have to discipline ourselves, so we suffer. We have to follow the teaching of the Bible, we suffer. We want to become a righteous person, so we suffer. All because we had a hope of going to heaven. So, when we hope, we will be able to endure. And 2 Peter talk about the partaker of divine nature. That is the greatest blessing, being a partaker of divine nature. So, we will be transformed to become a person who has the divine nature, like the image of Jesus Christ. And that is the value of the person. So, how did God value a person? One word, whether we can reflect his image, and that will be our value. Okay, let's bring something.